You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. How about a trip down the dusty back roads of Alabama with some edgy Southern women? The one-woman play called Alabama Bound has sold out audiences in San Francisco, and this weekend it opens in Sacramento. Linda Nalbandian is the Sacramento actress who takes on the characters, and she's directed by the writer herself, Charlotte Higgins. Linda and Charlotte have joined us in studio today. Welcome to Insight.
Oh, thank you for asking us. This is great.
You move into the theater today to start in theater rehearsals?
Actually, we started last night.
Well, how's it going? You open this weekend?
Yes, it's great. We're having a great time.
Absolutely. A lot of lights and sound stuff going on last night, you know, all that technical stuff. And it's a lot different to work on the stage than it is my living room, and that's where we've been rehearsing.
That's where you've been. A lot of laughter. We've been laughing a lot.
Right.
Well, Charlotte, this story was really born out of you, and not only being able to write it but direct it, it's evolved. Mm-hmm. Share with everybody what it's all about. What is Alabama Bound?
Well, I was born and raised in Alabama, and all my family still lives back there. And I started in the Writers Who Act program in San Francisco more than a decade ago. And much to my surprise, all of these great Alabama voices started bubbling to the surface. I mean, I could smell the hot skillets and the cornbread, and I could hear their voices of my mother and all of her women friends sitting around talking and telling stories and laughing. And so all of these voices started bubbling up. And the next thing I knew, I had all of these stories about these great Southern women. And from those many, many stories that I heard and developed and wrote, I selected five of them, to put into Alabama Bound. And so that's kind of, to my surprise and absolute wonder and joy, that's how the play developed.
San Francisco loved it. Mm-hmm. Here you are in Sacramento. And how did Linda become the actress that you knew could deliver on those five voices?
Well, you know, as a playwright, you always want to see your work done. And they say at least once you want to see it with your vision. And what had happened in San Francisco, I was actually performing all the pieces over several years as a writer who acted. And so I never really got to see them myself. And part of the thing I wanted after I started going in a different direction and doing other projects, I thought one day I would like to actually see this play. I would like to see someone do it. And I didn't know for a long time who that someone was going to be. And then I saw Linda in a play in Sacramento. A friend took me to the theater, and I thought, there she is. Mm. That's the one I want to see do it. And so I sent her the script, and I said, one day, I'm not so sure right now because I have some other projects going, but maybe one day you would do this play for me. And she said, yeah. So several years later, I had lost contact with her and lost her contact. But through all of these synchronistic events, I ran into her again, and I called her and said, do you remember Alabama Bound? And she said, yeah, I even still have the play. And I said, would you be interested in doing it? And she said, yes. And so it's that lifelong dream, or at least my creative lifelong dream, of seeing someone else do it. And she's the one.
One-woman show, Linda.
I know. It's scary, isn't it?
Is it? You have five vignettes, five characters. I want to hear you name each character in the voice of each character. Can you do that?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, the first character doesn't even have a name. She's a 911 dispatcher, and she's kind of got my voice like this. She's a feisty woman, and I don't want to give away, you know, too much of this because Charlotte will kick me here under the table.
All right, the next one is the resident of a convalescent home.
And her name is Evelyn, and she's been abandoned at the convalescent home.
Okay,
and she interacts with Mr. Atkins.
Are you Mr. Atkins too?
Yes, I'm Mr. Atkins. And I talk about her husband. And then there's another woman that's a housewife. Mm-hmm. And her husband is, he used to be the manager of the county bank. And her mother-in-law, Noonie, she's an old woman, kind of gets in her way a little bit. And let's see.
And then you
shall
have
a
prisoner of the state prison.
Yes, and that's a young woman that had some rough times, you know. Sometimes women make mistakes.
That's the voice I wanted to hear because she's the young one. So how has it been taking this on and working just every night, the two of you, and trying to, as Charlotte just described, really put the play out there in a way that she can see her vision? That's no small marching order.
I know. It's been exciting. It's been frustrating at times. It's been challenging. But it's something that I've wanted to do for a lot of years, as to do a one-woman show. And if you ask me why, you know, I really don't know, other than, like, you know, when you get to my age, you know, we discuss that. There's not that many roles that come along. And this one allows me to stretch and to show my range. And I'm doing, this is pretty much a drama, where most people know me, I do comedy. So I've had people that I'd say, oh, it's going to be a comedy. No, it's a drama. Oh, you do drama? I said, yeah. So, oh, well, this is interesting. And I've been working for these people for like 8 years doing videos for them. So it's just an opportunity that I'm just so blessed to have received. And I'm very thankful to Charlotte for allowing me and having the faith in me to do it.
Well, Linda's going to do a reading. And Charlotte, do you want to set up what we're going to hear in this reading?
Yeah, this is one of the women named Loretta. And what's happened is Loretta's married to Donald, and he lost a job as manager of the county bank. And it took him a long time to find a new job. And he winds up changing oil at Jiffy Lube, or Quickie Lube, we call it. And so what happens, because they're in dire financial straits, Loretta's mother-in-law moves in with into the house with them. And she kind of takes over the entire house as well as their lives. And so the only place that Loretta has is the kitchen. So she's in the kitchen, and this is the one day in her life that she's decided that she wants something different before she dies.
I heard on the news that 600 people died up in Chicago last week from the heat. Mostly old people laying there dead all by themselves. It's been over 100 degrees down here 10 days in a row. Noonie sent me out in this heat to buy her powdered donuts. Walking in this house is like walking in a freezer. I don't know why she keeps it so cold. Maybe she's afraid they'll find her dead like those other old people. Noonie's my mother-in-law. Donald, her son, is my husband. Donald's home from work. He's sitting in the living room in his recliner. Noonie's sitting over there in her matching recliner. A pitcher of iced tea sets on the table between them next to Noonie's ashtray. That table's all scarred with water stains and burns from Noonie's cigarettes. My mama gave me that table 27 years ago as a wedding present. Donald and Noonie's watching entertainment tonight, so they don't bother to speak to me. The gray light's flickering on their faces, making them look kind of slack-jawed. Oh, my! Mary Hart's looking all serious. Oh, they're showing that Christmas home video of those two babies that Susan Smith drowned. Now they put 2-900 telephone numbers up on the screen. You call 1-900 number if you want Susan Smith executed. You call the other one if you just want her to rot in prison. Noonie grabs a pencil and turns on the lamp beside her, the one with the shade still wrapped in plastic. The one she bought 8 years ago when I was at the Baptist Hospital having my hysterectomy. Noonie writes down the numbers, then she stabs out her cigarette and takes a gasp of air from that little green tank that sits on the floor beside her. She punches in the numbers on the Blue Prince's telephone and says, "Execution." She shoves a telephone over to Donald and he punches in the same numbers. "Call," Noonie says to me. "In the kitchen, Noonie, dinner's almost done." And I walk that narrow vinyl runner that cuts through the middle of the living room. Noonie put it there to save the shag carpeting she had installed 4 years ago when I was in the Baptist Hospital having my mastectomy. In the kitchen, I pick up the telephone. I call in, hang up. Call in, hang up. Call in, hang up. By the time I'm finished, I've canceled out their two executions and added 6 more to the life in prison total. "You get my donuts?" Noonie yells from the living room. That means that entertainment tonight is off and Wheel of Fortune is on. "Yes, Noonie." And I look around the kitchen at Noonie's dinette set, Noonie's teapot clock, and Noonie's favorite dinner setting on the stove. Salmon croquettes, mashed potatoes and Le Sueur English peas. And I wonder, is execution really worse than life in prison?
That's actress Linda Nalbandian. And we are also joined by the writer and director Charlotte Higgins of the show Alabama Bound, which opens this Friday, 8 o'clock at the Geary Theater. Linda, you probably can't see that as you say the script, say the lines, Charlotte mouths every single word.
Oh, does she?
Do you know that you do that?
I don't.
You do. I looked over and you're speaking every word silently as you watch her. This show really hit a chord in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Do you know what chord that was? And do you think it will do the same here? Sacramento is a different audience.
Well, you know, even though the women are Southern and their voices are Southern, they are totally universal in their appeal and in their lives and what's happening to them at this point in their lives. So I think that that's it, is the universality of these women and what's going on in their lives. People, and men as well as women come into the theater and leave the theater going, wow, we recognize these people.
Well, Charlotte and Linda, I want to wish you both good luck on the production, and thank you for joining us today. And we will link ticket information to our website at capradio.org/insight. And it is Alabama Bound, and it opens on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Beth.
That's Insight for today. We're always happy to hear from you. You can click onto our Facebook page or Twitter, and you can reach me at Capradio Rujak. I'm Beth Rujak. Insight's senior producer is Jen Picard. Our assistant producers are James Morrison and Lynn Weaver. Our technical director is Mark Jones. And then there's you. So thank you for joining us.